Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Get your hopes up, part two. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That was so short, it wasn't hardly worth standing up for. You may be seated. Hope precedes faith. Hope is the womb in which faith is conceived. I don't know how many times in my life that I've been told by an array of people, don't get your hopes up. I was watching a television program Friday evening, Becky happened to be in the room, and it was a courtroom scene, or preparing to go into the courtroom, and the lawyer said to his client, don't get your hopes up. Man, I'd hate to have a lawyer like that. I'd hate to have a pastor like that. I'd hate to have a wife like that. Sister Becky always encourages me to get my hopes up. Some of you do not have that luxury. I'm blessed to have people around me that encourage me to get my hopes up. Of course, I take credit for part of that because people that discouraged me from getting my hopes up, I dismissed them a long time ago. And the people around me are the people that I chose because I knew that they were going to encourage me to get my hopes up. Don't get your hopes up, people say. Nobody has ever said to me until just recently, get your hopes up. That's just not something people say. They just don't say it. But it has become the mantra of our family in the last few weeks and around our offices. What is hope? Desire that something is going to happen. Expectation that it's going to happen. It's going to be good. Spiritual hope is even beyond that. It's going to happen based on your relationship with God and God's promise to you. Condemnation destroys hope. It has no future. Satan has no future. Satan is hopeless because he has no future, and he wants everybody else to be hopeless. That's what Satan sells, is hopelessness, and he has a wealth of customers. I hear him all the time. Lots of people are buying his propaganda. He works every day to create hopelessness. And one can subscribe to that hopelessness, and it will come in the mail just like a subscription to a magazine. It will come frequently, and you'll buy into that. Or you can subscribe to getting your hopes up. The choice belongs to us and only us. Nobody can make that decision for you. The great stories that I read of people that achieve and succeed, so many times they come from arenas of tragedy, arenas of loneliness, arenas of failure, but for some reason they got their hopes up and they pulled themselves out of that situation. The choice belongs to us and only us. So I join with the psalmist David in declaring, but I will hope continually, he said in Psalm 71, and then this applies to us. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. If you have hope, you will become a praiser because you believe there's a divine architect, that there's a divine designer, and his will for you is always good and never bad. Hope produces happiness. Happy is the man. Happy is the he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's where real happiness comes from. It doesn't come from a bank account. It doesn't come from success. It doesn't come from accolades. It comes from hope. Deferred hope or hope abandoned makes the heart sick, the Bible declares. And hopelessness produces evil. You see people that are violent, doing all kinds of crimes, killing, molesting, hurting. It's because they are hopeless. The Bible said in Jeremiah, describing this, they said, there is no hope, and so we walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. When you see people that are violent, hurtful people, it is because they are hopeless, that they're locked in their position, and it can never get better. But God is a God of hope. People filled with the Holy Ghost abound in hope that produces joy and peace. That's another wonderful benefit of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a very catalyst of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13. All the Bible was written for our example. The Bible said that it was written for our example. And what is that example? That example is that in the worst of situations, if you can ascribe to hope, you can turn that situation around. No matter what evil means to destroy you with, you can turn it around. The Bible is our example. It's story after story after story of people against all odds were able to conquer, able to overcome, able to come to fruition, to be victorious. That's the story of the Bible. Hope in hopeless times is the story of the Bible. We talk about miracles. We want miracles. Every miracle is a result of hope in a time of hopelessness. When things were just tragic, all of a sudden we believed and it became a miracle manifest. Shocked everybody, including us, how good it could get. I tell you that God's got a plan for you that's not even entered into your mind or your imagination. It is so good that it is shocking. And if you are to embrace it, what will happen in your life will be shocking. You will just say, little old me, look where I've come and look what God has done. It doesn't matter if you're like Israel, trapped in captivity as they were in Babylonian captivity. They were totally hopeless. And finally, somebody said, let's take down our harps from the willows and let's play the Lord's song in a strange land. Said, we were in captivity at Tel Aviv, and we dwelt by the river of Chebar, but we began to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. It's like the Apostle Paul and Silas singing the Lord's song in a Philippian jail produced one of the greatest Bible revivals recorded. You might feel like you are in captivity, friend, but if you can get your hopes up, if you can keep your hopes up, it will lead you to what? Because I hope in God, I will praise more and more and more. And what happens when you praise more and more? If God inhabits the praise of his people, when we praise more and more and more, God comes in more and more and more. And suddenly, whether we are sitting in captivity in Babylon, whether we are by the rivers of Chebar, whether we are in a Philippian jail, when our hopes are high and our song is an anthem of that hope, something begins to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, you might be facing something this past week or this present day that hasn't been to your liking, but I promise you, you can change that. And you can change it with this thing called faith, which is born in the incubator of hope. And so if you'll get your hopes up today, if you'll keep your hopes up, regardless of what the economists are saying about rising inflation, you can be victorious over anything that's in your way. God enables you to do so. So if it's the hopelessness of captivity, where you feel like you're just bound and you can't get loosed, that your place is too small, or whether it is the hopelessness of the graveyard, which means what? It's just too late. That's what a cemetery is the symbol of. It's just too late. But God picked up Ezekiel and took him to the graveyard because he wanted to give us an example that it's never, ever too late. For somebody in this building, the devil has been trying to sell you hopelessness. And he sold you that message of hopelessness by telling you it's too late. If you had done this a few years ago, if you had done this several months ago, it would have been, it's just too late. God took Ezekiel and said, look at this boneyard. Go all round about the boneyard. And then he asked him a question, not because God needed help, because he was trying to revitalize and revive the hope of Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Friend, you've got to be able to answer in the positive. The dead can live. The lost can be found. The hopeless can be made a thing of hope. And finally, as he can pass that boneyard, he said, can these bones live? And God said, then you prophesied to the bones. It wasn't God doing it. God is saying, it's your voice. Your voice has to become one of prophetic utterance. It has to be one of prophetic fulfillment. Things are going to change. A better day is coming. There's a miracle coming down the road. God is going to reverse the curse. What's meant for evil is going to be turned to blessing. God is on your side. God is greater than all of your enemies. God is in charge. God will cause the last to be first. The glory of the latter is going to be greater than the former. The best is yet to come. Your best days are yet ahead of you. Can you see it, Ezekiel? And suddenly hope was born again in Ezekiel's heart, and he began to speak, and he began to prophesy to those bones. You might feel like you are in the captivity of being too late. The hopelessness of it's just too late. It's not too late. You're living and you're breathing. It's not too late. You need to hope in your God and praise God more and more and more, because something good is about to happen in your life. 2022, which will be the sepulcher of many people, is going to be the power of God in your life and the best year you've ever known. You need to get up and shout it from the hilltops. This thing was not done in a corner. They announced that the Redeemer is here. The salvation has come to Israel. This is our day of visitation. This is our best hour. And so as Ezekiel began to prophesy, those old bones that were totally hopeless, the Bible said, the bones are dry and our hope is lost. That's a scripture, chapter 37, verse 11, I think it is. But it said, our hope is gone. Our hope is gone and our bones are dried. But when he began to prophesy through his hope, those bones took on strength, and suddenly there was a fire in their bones. Ladies and gentlemen, you serve a God that can make the dead live. It's never too late. If you will stand on your feet of faith and prophesy through the periscope of envisionment, hope, what has been lost now will come to pass. This is our best hour. And as he began to speak, it was not a wholesale movement. It was just a little thing. It doesn't take much to encourage the hopeful. Just one bone, just an ankle bone way over on the other side of the valley begin to move. It found a shin bone, and the shin bone found the knee, and the knee found the thigh, and they began to assemble those bones coming together, but it's still just a boneyard. He prophesied even the more so, and now there's sinew on those bones, and now there's flesh on those bones, and all of a sudden the wind of the Holy Spirit hit the yon side of the boneyard and breathed onto that boneyard, and finally one man stood up, and a second man stood up, and a third stood up, and finally a whole army was standing up. Ladies and gentlemen, you might not see it all at once, but if you will look around, there are telltale signs that your hope is being rewarded, that God is doing good things in your life, and before the year has ended, there is going to be an army of blessing in your life. Your life is going to change, and it's going to change drastically. So don't let the devil tell you that the hopelessness of the graveyard, the hopelessness of it too late, is your fate, because you serve a God that has got the past, the present, and the future in his hands. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It might be the hopelessness of loss when we feel like it's just irretrievable. It cannot be retrieved. It's lost forever, and there's nothing you can do about it. Jesus gives us that marvelous story of that which was irretrievable. It's the story of Lazarus. Just too late, lost, never see it again, gone forever. My youth were my best days. My past was my best. My future will be pale in comparison to what is past. The best is over. That was the feeling that Mary and Martha had when Jesus finally arrived on the scene. It's just too late. Martha said, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. Mary said, if you'd have been here, Lazarus would not have died. The Jews, I read this, I didn't realize this till this week. The Jews that were with him said, if you'd been here, Lazarus would not have died. They all agreed on one thing, that Jesus was too late and it would never, ever be the same again. But Christ gives us this story so you will realize that the lost is retrievable. That the best of your past can join with the best of your future to make an amazing present. God has got something in store for you that you have never, ever experienced. As Joel likes to say, God's going to take you places you've never been. And as I want to tell you, you're going to possess things you've never possessed. You're going to enjoy things that you have never enjoyed. And so all these company, the Jews, Mary and Martha, said, it's just too late. This is a hope killer. It places the blame on God. Jesus, you're the blame for being late. It questions the concern of Christ. Is he really a compassionate Christ, or he would have done something? Number three, belief in Christ's power of prevention. It says God is able to prevent, and then it stops and dies there. But it has this terrible negative connotation, and that is doubt in the power of Christ's creation. He's a God of prevention. He's a God that could have but did not. That's the conclusion of the whole cast at Lazarus' graveside, and nothing could have been further with the truth. Because my God is not only a God of prevention, and he works in prevention every day of your life. He prevented you from dying this week. He prevented you from suicide this week. He prevented you from illness this week. He prevented you from jail this week. He is a marvelous God of prevention, but you cannot put the period there because the glory of God does not end there. But you have to realize that he's not only a God of prevention, but he is a God of creation. That's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is about to create. You say, I don't see any signs. I see none of the necessary elements. I don't see things around me that indicate my life is going to change. Friend, you've got to change your life. Your hope has got to be strong. You've got to believe in God and praise him more and more and more and more. Because, praise God, you're going to get your hopes up because you now understand that God is not only a God of prevention, but he is a God of creation. You have to understand that bad things are never God's will. And Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, if you can pray, the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have to understand that Christ is always compassionate. He always cares. Mary and Martha were having a hope breakdown, that God was too late and he really did not care. Number one, God is never too late. And number two, God always cares. Jesus can and will make something out of nothing. All God needs is your faith, and all you need to have faith is hope. And then you open your mouth and begin to prophesy the good things of God. Friend, if you were around me when I am by myself, you would brand me as crazy because I talk to myself. I encourage myself. I keep my hopes up. I rebuke the devil. I lay hands on myself. I anoint myself with everything from cooking oil to motor oil because I believe the word of God. I realize that God is great. The new attorney general, I think it was in Virginia, was interviewed today. She happens to be the first African American elected to a statewide office in that state. And they asked her, they said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to introduce this theory to this state. That life is tough for everybody. If you're rich or if you're poor, it doesn't matter. She said, all of us came out of the womb, and the first thing we did was scream. That ought to be an indication of how tough life is. But then she said, if you educate yourself and get your mind right, you can overcome any situation. Ladies and gentlemen, educate yourself not just in the hallowed halls of our university, but educate yourself in the hope of God's word that says God always makes a way. There's never going to come more on you than can bear. God will always have a way of escape. God is able to defeat every enemy. You've got to say, God, you're not too late in my life. I'm not going to brand you as being tardy. You're here now. Lazarus is dead, but he's going to live again. In fact, Jesus said, I'm glad for your sake that Lazarus is dead, because I want to demonstrate to you the principle that I give to all people, that I'm never too late. When I speak the word, death has to give up to life. Defeat has to give up to victory. God is on your side. It's going to live again. You have to understand that Jesus can and will make something out of nothing. To reverse hopelessness and get your hopes up in terrible times, one must believe in two things, creation and resurrection. When I study the Bible, the two greatest themes in the Bible are creation and resurrection. That means God will make it, and he will make it great. And if I do something, or the devil is given a place and he does something to somehow dumb down my creation, then resurrection is quick on the heels of creation, and he will make it all over again. I don't know where you missed the boat, but there's a new boat. I don't know where you missed the plane, but there's a new plane. I don't know where you gave away the opportunity, but there is a new opportunity. I don't know where you lost your joy, but rejoice. There is a new joy. I don't know where it went bad, but it's turned around, and it's going to be good. Ladies and gentlemen, keep your hopes up. There is a God that saw the end from the beginning. And if God didn't give up on you, how can you give up on him? God is still in your course. He in your corner. He put breath in your lungs today. He put a spirit in your body. He put a joy in your spirit, and he put a thought in your mind. Rise up today and say, I've got my hopes up. It's going to be the best days of my life. The best days are just ahead of me, and they're not a long way ahead of me. They're real close. They're real close. They're real close. I had a $7 million deal go south Tuesday. I thought for sure it was going to consummate in Tuesday. And when I got the phone call, they're not going to show, I said to everybody around me, keep your hopes up. It ain't over yet. There's another Tuesday coming. God is on my side. God is on my side. All he needs is my hope and my faith. And I've got my hopes higher than they've ever been. I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to quit. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be depressed. I know that the Lord is in me and on me. I have been saved. I have been born again. I am a living replica of creation and resurrection. They both reside in me. And with the power of creation and resurrection, you can defeat the very foes of life. You can defeat the devil himself. You can defeat all of hell. God is greater, and God is on your side. You just got to resist the devil. He will flee from you. Give the devil no place at all. Fill it with praise. Oh, let him be the God of your hope. And would you praise him more and more and more and more and more? I want this church that is renowned for praise to praise God more and more and more. I want our song to be more jubilant than it's ever been. More palms in the air than there's ever been. More dancing feet than there's ever been. More songs sung than there's ever been. More great sermons of encouragement preached than there's ever been. This is our finest hour. Get your joy up. Get your hopes up. Get your faith up. Keep your faith. Keep your hope. Don't let the devil take it away, because, friend, when you are filled with hope, there's not one thing the devil can do against you that will prosper, but you will overcome every situation, whether it's good or bad. It will turn out to your good. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God a praise today. Would you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus. When I look at my life, the greatest days of my life were always precipitated by the darkest nights of my life. It was only in the darkest of nights that I could resurrect my hope and say, when the morning comes, things are going to look different. Things are going to be different. Weeping may have endured for the night, but praise God, the sun is going to shine again. And God is about to do something in my life. Why would God not want to bless you? Because you have influence in people's lives. And if you can be blessed enough, it will stop the mouth of the gainsayer. And you will become a witness for the creative, resurrecting power of God. And you will win many people to Christ. When you have that understanding, that first of all, God wants to deal with your spirit. Deal with your spirit. I saw on Facebook a woman that attended church here in the old building. She hadn't been in this building since it's been 25 years ago. And she posted from Nashville, Tennessee. She said, if I can hold it in my hand, if I can get it in my spirit, I can hold it in my hand. That's something she learned from this church 25 years ago. And so first of all, God wants you to get it in your spirit. Then you're going to hold it in your hand. And then you're going to shout it from the rooftops. And people are going to come to your Christ. God is bending over, waiting for you to get your hopes up and to keep them up where he can manifest his renowned blessing in your life, that you will be a witness of his majestic love, grace, and forgiveness. And it will bring people to Christ. This is our best hour. This is our finest day. And we need to seize it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Would you lift your hands and just give God some praise?